Okay, the last maral for in Parshas Chayesar for this week is that from the very end of the Parsha, there are two Rashis which address the relationship that we have to Yishmael, both in a positive light, and the maral has comments on both of them which are of interest. The first comes from the very end of Avraham's life. The Torah describes after the whole story with finding a Eliezer, finding a wife for Yitzchak, the Torah then concludes, so to speak, and wraps up the life of Avraham, describes how he married Keturah, had a number of children, sent all of those children away with gifts during the lifetime of Yitzchak so that he could then give everything that he had to Yitzchak, and the Torah describes his death, similar to the death of Sarah in the beginning of the Parsha. Eli Yemei Shnei Chayei Avraham. These were the days of the life of Avraham. Me'ashana, Shevim Shana, Chamei Shanim, 175. Rashi quotes a similar drasha like we spoke about yesterday, how we break down his age, 175. And then the Torah says, Vayigva, Vayamos, Avraham, Beseva, Tovim. He died, he expired, Vayigva. We'll come back to that word, and he died. At a ripe old age, Zakein v'saveya, v'yikberu oso, Yitzchak v'yishmael banav. And then who came to bury Avraham? Yitzchak and Yishmael, whose two sons, that in Maras HaMachpelah, which he had purchased and buried Sarah in the beginning of the parasha, the Torah then concludes, that's where Avraham, when he died, Yitzchak and Yishmael both came to bury. Rashi points out, whose name is listed first from the two sons who came to bury Avraham? Yitzchak. Torah clears Yitzchak and Yishmael. Says Rashi, Mikan, now who was older? No, Yishmael is 13, 14 years older. Mikan, says Rashi, the fact that Yishmael is listed first, She'asa Yishmael tshuva. From here we see that Yishmael did a tshuva towards the end of his life. V'holuch es Yitzchak lefanav. And he allowed Yitzchak to go before him as they proceeded to bury Avraham, as Yitzchak is listed before Yishmael. So you see Yishmael does tshuva at the end of his life. The Maral points out, well, how do you, maybe the Torah just lists him because Yitzchak was greater. Maybe the Torah listed Yitzchak first, not because Yishmael let him go first, because the Torah, in narrating the story, values Yitzchak more than Yishmael. Says Maral, because when you see when Yitzchak himself is going to die, he also has two sons. And who buries Yitzchak when he dies? His two sons, Yaakov and Esav. How does the Torah list that burial procedure with Yaakov and Esav coming to bury Yitzchak? There the Torah says, Vayikbru oso, Esav v'Yaakov. There the Torah lists Esav first. So says the Maral, it's clear, when the Torah is just narrating it, it doesn't just put the one who's greater front, in front, because then Yaakov would be in front of Esav. So if it puts Esav in front over there, and yet here Yitzchak went in front of Yishmael, even though he was younger, must be that Yishmael allowed Yitzchak to go in front, and there you see that he does tshuva towards the end of his day. Says the Maral, how do we know that the fact that Yishmael allows Yitzchak to go in front of him is a sign that he did tshuva? So the Maral says, because at the time, when he was a Rasha, so the general rule would have been at that point, so Rasha sone tzaddik, that a Rasha would have hated a tzaddik, a righteous person. Sinna, that hatred is so strong, he's borrowing a phrase that Rashi quotes, it makes a straight line crooked. Meaning, people do strange, bizarre, or irrational things, both from a perspective of sinna, of hatred, or on the opposite because of love. Rashi points out a couple of times where Avram saddled his own donkey out of love. Bilam saddled his own donkey out of hatred, doing things that are inappropriate for the people of their stature. But Ahava and Sinar Mikalkelas is Sashura. And the hatred would have been so strong, there's no way Yishmael would have ever been able to tolerate putting Yitzchak in front of him. So that Marat, maybe he just allowed him. Can't be. It doesn't happen. When you hate a person, it's just, you can't forgive him anything. You can't allow it. And the fact that Yishmael allows Yitzchak to go first must be that he accomplished tshuva. Rav Hartman, as we pointed out a number of times in the footnotes, points out another maral. In the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, the Gemara records that Rabbi Akiva, who we know also was one of the most famous Baalei tshuva, Rabbi Akiva himself says about himself, before I learned anything, he said, I used to hate Talmidei Chachamim. He says, I hated Talmidei Chachamim. Not only did he say, I used to hate Talmidei Chachamim, but he said, I would say to myself, someone should bring me a Talmud Chachamim, and Ashchenu Kechamor. And I would bite him like a donkey. Says Talmidim, now he's already a big Talmud Chacham. His Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, You would have bitten us like a donkey. The phrase is bite him like a dog. Why are you saying bite him like a donkey? That's the wrong phrase, Rebbe. So Rebbe Kiva says, no, I would bite him like a donkey. Because a dog, when it bites, it doesn't break the bone. But when a donkey bites, it breaks the bones. So the Maral comments, what is Rabbi Akiva saying? Like, such a hatred, I specifically use a phrase to break him, like a bite him like a donkey to break the bone. So Rabbi Akiva, the Maral, there in the Gemara, explains, using his language, Chomer and Seichel. Chomer is the mundane, the physical elements of our guf, and Seichel is the intellect, the elements of our neshami. So they're always misnagi. They are always combating against each other. As we've said many times in the Maral, the tension between the Chomer, the guf, and the neshama and the seichel, the spirit and the soul. What gives chomer? What gives our body its tzura, its shape, its form, its existence in this world? It says it's our bones. The bones physically give the body its structure. Without the bone structure, the skeletal structure of our being, we wouldn't be able to stand up. We would have no presence in this world. So a bone, the bones that we have, give stature, presence to the body. See, he said, I hated the Talmidei Chachamim so much. What did I want to break? I wanted to break their presence, their existence in this world. I wanted to break their bones. Breaking their bones wasn't just I wanted to be mean and hurtful. I wanted to destroy the presence of what they had here in this world, which is given by the bones. That's what I wanted to destroy. I want to share the second Rashi picks up on this theme in a very different way. At the very one of the last psukim in the entire parsha describes the death of Yishmael. So we have the death of Sar in the beginning of the parsha, Avram, and then the very last psukim of the parsha is the death of Yishmael. And the Torah describes he was 37 years old when he died. Vayigva vayamos. And he expired and he died. And Rashi points out that word vayigva is not a common word to describe death everywhere in the Chumash. It's reserved only, says Rashi, latzadikim. Lo nemra gviya, to expire, ela bitzadikim. We only find that word by tzadikim. So Rashi in both these places points out Yishmael did tshuva by allowing Yitzchak to walk in front of him. His hatred would have been otherwise so strong he never would have allowed it. Must be he did tshuva. And his death is given the same language as the tzaddikim, he expired. Says Maral, what's with the language of vayigva? So he describes again this tension between body and between soul. And he says, when the tzaddikim win out, and their neshama, their seichel, wins out over their body, the body becomes batel, becomes irrelevant to the soul. It's just the structure that houses the neshama. So when a person then dies and the neshama is plucked from the body, it's a smooth, simple transition, and the body has no interest in keep. It's just the neshama just comes because the body had become secondary to the neshama. But says Maral, if a person does not succeed in that and is invested in this world and loves this world and loves the physicality of this world and the food and the pleasures and all of those things, so then the body wins out in those degrees over the neshama. And when the neshama is taken at the end of one's life, you literally have to, it's part and parcel, it's part of the body. You have to extract the neshama, and it's not a smooth, like the Gemara uses the language, when a righteous die, it's like pulling a hair out of milk. Just come straight out, it's smooth. But some of us, those in the world, not so simple. And in a spiritual way, like the neshama and the body are melded together in a way that you can't say gviya. You can't say it simply expired and was plucked simply. It's not zocha v'tahora. It's too much nota el haguf. And therefore, it's shalom istalik haguf. The guf never left the neshama. Like almost you take a piece of the guf with it up to eternity. And kaviyach, I can't really describe it that way. But the language of Gvi is only when there's a clean separation between body and between soul. And Yishmael is given that language, Rashi says. Lo nemer Gvi elo bitzadikim, who does tshuva at the end of his life and allows Yitzchak to walk in front of him. And through that, the Maral, as he often does, describes his body-soul tension in many different ways as it appears throughout his realm. We see that many, many, many times, this idea of the tension between the guf and between the neshama.